Happy New Year, and welcome to the 131st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. As usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis. Hey, Mark.
Happy New Year.
How are you? I'm doing well.
I love that episode 131 is our first episode of the year. It's almost like we're starting anew.
Yeah, it's starting on a one.
On a one and a two and a one, two, three.
And Mark, today we've got my wife, our resident quiz writer, indie folk songwriter, and all around absolutely beautiful person inside and out in the guest chair. It's Kyle Ann.
Hello,
welcome back,
everybody.
Kyle Ann.
How do you feel about indie folk as a genre?
I mean, that's what I am, I think. I think that's the closest.
What I am is what I am. Yes. Isn't that Edie Brickell of the New Bohemians?
Yes, it is. You are correct. I had that record as a kid.
One time I said, Edie Brickell news travels fast when I was like in a half asleep state to my ex. And she never let me forget it.
Oh, man. Well, anyways, Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year.
Oh, man. 2020. What a year it has been. Indeed. Yeah. There was, of course, COVID-19, which interrupted our trivia pursuits. Our trivia pursuits. Don't sue us, Parker Brothers.
Trivia.
Our trivia pursuits. Mark and I, both live trivia hosts, had to go virtual part-time this year.
Yeah.
You went with Zoom.
I did.
Yeah, and you were the first to return to live, well, to doing trivia out in person, and that's when you brought the Zoom back after our first initial shutdown this year.
Yeah, I went Zoom late March, early April, right around the time I got furloughed from my job. And I think I was back to doing live trivia in May or June, something like that. But the, you know, as well as the Zoom trivia did, you know, even though it's tapered off a lot as far as Zoom is concerned, as people like got back into like their regular lives or whatever, it's been so neat having teams like Whiskey Tango and Ian and Manu and some other people that had like played that I wanted to at least leave the option open. So, yeah. So I'm glad that I kept that going.
Yeah. And you've got plans to continue that in 2021.
I do. Yeah.
Right on.
If I get to the point where I'm setting it up and no one's coming in, then I'll stop. But until then, I'll keep it going.
We started doing virtual trivia night on Twitch this year, and Kyle jumped in and started writing questions weekly based on our player category requests. And I think we started that in March as well.
Yeah,
and then
sounds about right.
And then in October, went back to doing live trivia at Palace. Then we added Pointy Bell, so we had you know, it was a partial year for the live trivia, but yeah, it's cool. Now we have the simulcast, the Twitch trivia simulcast on Wednesdays from Pointy Bell as well. So yeah, it's been hard, but it's also opened up all these other opportunities for us to hang out with our podcast listeners and play trivia with them virtually. So it's been cool in that regard. And I've actually got a bit of a yearly wrap up here. I don't know. Do you have any big winners that you can pick out from 2020? Any players that that have done particularly well this year?
I mean, Seth and Elise both, as far as live trivia is concerned, nice both because they are consistent players and because they're just so dang smart. And Whiskey Tango, proverbial lightkeeper Matt, just always coming in with the flex, always in the cut, if you will. You know, always leaving each other scrambling for the last round, trying to get something put together. Those are some of my biggest winners.
True. And shout out also to the usual suspect Ian for coming and hanging out quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
In 2020, I was fortunate enough to host some trivia at the some of the best spots in Southwest Florida. That would be Palace Pub and Wine Bar, number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar, our newest venue, as I mentioned, Point E. Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, and one guest spot at Nice Guys Pizza. Overall, I registered 326 teams total this year and roughly 900 players. Just want to share some stats here about our trivia. I hosted 43 quizzes in person overall, and most of the categories were requested by our teams. So at Palace Pub and Wine Bar, the top 5 category requests that we had there were The Office, Disney, horror movies, 90s music, and Pokemon. And as far as like our top performing teams there go at Palace, we had Trivia Newton John had the most combined points with 671 points overall and the most quizzes played as well as the most wins. Four of their 12 quizzes they played, they won. And also our highest score went to the Precipitation People, which I believe was a Wet Boys variation. Mm-hmm. Mark, you guys got 108 points on a single quiz.
I'll take it.
Shout out to House Snow, Team Moist, and is it still a DUI if Jesus takes the wheel? Also collecting a lot of points at Palace in 2020. At number three, Craft Brews and Beer Bar right next door, also in Cape Coral. The top five category requests were The Office once again, Disney once again, 80s music instead of 90s music. So 80s at number three and 90s music at Palace, apparently. The sitcom Friends was a hot topic still. It's amazing. That show's been off the air for how many years now? Like 20 years?
Somewhere around there, yeah. It's frightening to think about.
Yeah. And The Office as well. I think I mentioned that. As You Wish had the most combined points at number three, 983 points for them there. Also the most wins and the highest score at 110 points. They had seven wins also, but it was OG Squeaky Chairs who had most quizzes played at number three with 12. We also had Trivial Mercenaries, Max Rebo Groupies, and Fu Noku, who picked up a lot of points at number three in 2020. And then we have Point Ebel Brewing Company, our newest venue. Top five category requests there: 90s music once again, beer, music in general, 70s music. They love music at Point Ebel. Apparently. And Porn Stars, actually. Porn Stars has been requested four times in the seven quizzes that we've had there.
That's
so very hot topic there. Team Yikes got the most combined points so far in 2020. Well, I guess we're out of 2020 now, so it's set in stone. 423 points for Team Yikes. So close to getting 420 even, guys. So sorry about that. And they had the highest score of 115 points at the venue. That was also our highest scoring quiz of the year. So congratulations to them on that. And nine teams have won. We had no repeat winners at Pointy Bell. So I don't know if that's like some kind of Quizmaster elegance where you can have no repeat winning teams. It's like perfectly balanced.
That is interesting. Should be. Do you have a lot of repeat teams?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Forby played seven times and he only won once. Team Yikes played several times. House Snow is in the house. They won once at Pointy Bell. I Am Negan, E Equals MC Hammered, Team Indy, Sex Cyclone, and Trivial Mercenaries. And yeah.
Interesting.
It's been a good year. So, and then Twitch trivia, of course. We were on Twitch. Some of our popular categories requested on Twitch were geography, The Office, popular everywhere you go, basically. If you want to put together a theme night, a theme trivia night, and you don't know what to do, just pick The Office. Everybody loves it, apparently. 90s hip hop, The Simpsons, Florida Man, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Community are their top requests for Twitch trivia. H-Bomb and Friends had the highest combined points of the year with 7,754,854 points. The most quizzes played H-Bomb with 106 quizzes in 2020. And also the most audio round wins to H-Bomb. He had four audio rounds of the 20-odd audio rounds that we did this year. Grantastic Glenn, however, had the most overall wins with 23. We want to shout out to Mappy1984, who had our highest score ever on an audio round with 195,694 points. John Lewis, Apple30309, Bahaman Tribute Band, Anfield723, Pandarar, our very own Rumble Snailskin Kenya, Valkia, Tiffany Moko, Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt, Whiskey Tango, DLR Addict Andrew, Lavitz, and so many others collected a ton of points on our virtual Twitch trivia night in 2020. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us on Thursday nights there. We're going to get started again this week. More on that coming soon after our weekly wrap-up. But for now, of course, we have a full quiz coming your way this episode, as well as some no-notes, miscorrections, and Rate My Questions. But before we get into that, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Mm.
Okay, on Wednesday at Pointy Bell Brewing Company, round one went to Mariah, who is playing online. Our in-house winning team for round one, though, was Around the Corner. Round two went to Trebek's Oncologist, while round three went to CRS. A team going by Pig Venus won the overall quiz with 103 points. Mark, how did your trivia go at Nice Guys Pizza on Wednesday evening?
It went well. Our first round went to Team the McRiblets. by 1 point with 17 points.
Yummy.
They also won the second round with 33 points. And the third round went to them also with 40 points.
Ribs.
Yes. They cleaned up. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I knew there was another team. Criss Cross will make you jump. One with 51 points. That was right. I thought there was another team, and I kept scrolling. We had a packed house. You were there.
Yes.
I mean, it was definitely balls to the wall slam, and it was one of those no one had work that day or the next day. Mm-hmm. Everyone was just kind of out and about and chilling. So a very, very full house. We had Proverbial Lakekeeper Matt and Whiskey Tango online. Whiskey Tango ending the night with 64 points, and Proverbial Lakekeeper Matt with 39 points.
Was Kenya teaming up with Whiskey Tango there?
She was, yes.
Yeah, I heard Proverbial Lakekeeper Matt came over into my Twitch trivia afterwards, and he was like, I just got my ass handed to me. But yeah, it was busy over Pointy Bell, too. You're right. We're in the holiday season. Everybody goes out for trivia, I think.
Yeah.
We had 19 teams over at Pointy Bell.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Dang. Yep. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia this week, you have a few opportunities to do so. This Wednesday, January 6th, we're back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida. Categories for the quiz include dog breeds, art history, video games, pizza, beer, Stephen King novels, and more. We'll also be streaming the quiz on Twitch, so you can come check that out. That starts at Pointy Bell at 7:30 p.m. this Wednesday, January 6th. More details in the show notes if you're in the Cape. You can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesday at Nice Guys Pizza in Cape Coral, or streaming on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. And Thursday, January 7th, 2021, we're back on Twitch for our weekly virtual trivia night. I'll be asking questions based on our player requests. Come play to get your name on our leaderboard, and you can request categories for next week's virtual quiz. We start that at 8 p.m. on Twitch. Follow us at twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia to get a notification for that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on Discord to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? Any commentary from the musicians on that one?
Weird.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Well, I wasn't sure, you know.
I don't know.
We never are. Yeah. 131 episodes and we still have no fucking clue.
I froze up.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's take a little break and then come back with some trivia in round one.
Yes. Y'all ready for this?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it. Why don't you throw that trivia question at us?
Who's first? Me?
Yes.
Little old me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's your first question. What drink? I'm going into the suppository.
Mm-hmm.
Because
deep in there.
Deep inside. Not the repository.
Right, deep in the suppository.
Suppository.
Deep inside.
I officially had to break my trivia, my old trivia, up into two different things because documents. It was taking too long to load. So I don't know what I've asked when I haven't asked, but we'll find out. What drink was originally known as Fruit Smack? What drink was originally known as Fruit Smack?
Fruit Smack.
Mm-hmm.
I love that name. Thanks. That's my band name now.
Fruit I'll Smack. Take that.
I've got two ideas.
Yes.
One is Hawaiian Punch.
Uh-huh.
Because it also has a violent punch connotation.
That's good. I like that.
And the other is Kool-Aid for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, Kool-Aid is a brand, right? So
it was a brand of drink, yeah.
But did he say soft drink?
He just said drink.
What drink?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think I feel good about Kool-Aid. I was kind of thinking that too, because like Kool-Aid man punching through walls and shit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. Fruit Smack.
By the way, I was watching a Kool-Aid commercial like you do. And I noticed that this kid basically, he ran out of drink. He was playing video games by himself on his couch, and he ran out of drink, soda. And I thought that was interesting. Like, they're just advertising, like, what? People drink soda in the Kool-Aid universe? You would think that everybody drinks Kool-Aid in the Kool-Aid universe.
The Kool-Aid verse.
That's what the saying is, you drink the Kool-Aid, right? Everybody's on board. So anyways, he's out of soda.
The Kool-Aid was actually Flavor-Aid.
And then it shows...
Yes, I was reading about that, actually.
And then it shows the Kool-Aid man, and he is standing in front of a mirror, and his Kool-Aid senses go off. So it's not that the Kool-Aid was diminished, it's that he noticed thirst in the world, and he needs to deal with it, but... The really strange thing about this is that he's shaving. Kool-Aid Man is shaving. Now, does the Kool-Aid Man grow hair? And if he does grow hair, does he grow hair on the inside of the glass as well as the outside? Does he have to go like all like inside of himself? Very frightening.
Well, I think it's just like a human. We just have hair on the outside. There might be a little bit in the
but hair on the inside
thickness. Well, I mean, you don't grow beard hair inside of you.
Well, I've never seen glass grow hair at all.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, obviously.
It's a quandary mark.
This is up there with the, is Kool-Aid Man red, or is it that his just his blood?
Right.
Which I believe that he is actually clear.
Yes.
And that is his juice, his blood, if you will. His aid is red.
Yeah. So you want to go with Kool-Aid?
Let's just go with Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid is correct.
Hey.
All right.
Hawaiian Punch is a very good guess. And you would think Fruit Smack, Hawaiian Punch, Smack and Punch. I thought maybe you'd carry that down, but you did not.
You did not.
No. It was an attractive answer, but yeah, I don't know. It just, I guess it's like, it doesn't do enough to change it that way. You know what I mean? Kool-Aid, it's like, oh yeah, Kool-Aid. That sounds a lot better, you know, than Fruit Smack. Fruit Smack sounds like a drug. Like, hey man, you got any Fruit Smack? You know, they might not want that connotation. Okay, sports legends, my first category for you guys. Sports legends.
Thank you. Thank God you're here.
Mm-hmm. How would you do this without me?
What athlete's career was cut short when he died in a high-speed crash at the 1994 San Marino Grand Prix?
I have no idea. I don't know anything with sports.
Can you read it one more time?
What athlete's career was cut short when he died in a high-speed crash at the 1994 San Marino Grand Prix?
I mean, could it be Dale Earnhardt? Was that 94?
He did die, didn't he?
He did die, and he did die in a car.
He done did die.
He done did died. But I don't, 94 seems like a really long time ago. I don't know if you call, and I don't mean this in any way of disrespect, but if you would call, you know,
a race car driver, an athlete. I totally get what you're saying. I feel like this is somebody who was an like sports athlete, not like a race car driver. Who like maybe dabbled in like race car driving also. So I'm trying to think of like athletes who would have done that, which I'm coming up with zero because I don't know any athletes. I don't know about any sports people.
Yeah. Died in a crash.
I feel like I remember like my brother talking about this. Because he's really into like race car driving and shit like that. But I'm just drawing a blank.
The other
here.
Thing is Grand Prix. I'm trying to think of like what, if Grand Prix is like NASCAR stuff or if that's more like funny cars and stuff like that. Because there are different kinds of racing.
Yes, there are.
Like stock car and, I mean, honestly, Dale Earnhardt's about the best I got.
Let's just go with it. I don't know.
I'm going to say Dale Earnhardt.
No. Dale Earnhardt died in Daytona, Florida at the Daytona 500 in 2001. So your intuition was correct there that it was a little earlier. The correct answer is Ayrton Senna Da Silva.
I don't know who that is.
I never heard that name.
There was a biopic. He was an F1 racer, very popular racer. He died, I think, when he was in his mid-30s. And yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Senna. Something my brother would have known.
That'd be on par about me asking you a question about cricket. I just, there's no.
You way. Have. You have asked me a question about cricket. So that's fair.
I think my brother would have known that. He was into F1.
We should have him on sometime.
You should. Yeah. Oh my God.
He would be great. No.
You got, no, yeah, Patrick. He's very.
He plays Mark's trivia role. He did, shutdown. He was out very active.
Him and Keith and Alex.
He and Keith and Alex are like an unstoppable force.
Yeah, Alex Baja Men Tribute Band.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because Alex knows about sports and Keith and Patrick are all about history. Mm-hmm. So, like, and if I'm there, usually I'm like the pop culture person. But
what do you know about questions?
I know about questions. I write them.
Prove it.
Well, let me give you one.
Okay.
Okay. The confetti used for the annual New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square is made from what product? I'm looking for a product, not a material.
Sizzle pack.
John Ratzenberger represent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The pig man. The postman. The Ratzenberger. No, it's not sizzle pack. Made out of what product? The confetti. It's a bit of New Year's trivia, huh?
Yes, babe.
Okay. I like it.
Yes, babe.
Did they use it this year, even though there was nobody there?
So, okay, I actually...
Empty release?
I'm actually not sure. I did not look, but this is an annual tradition, obviously in normal...
Oh, okay. So like, this is not a new thing.
No.
They use it every year.
Yes.
New York Times? Maybe it's like recycled newspapers.
I mean, could be. Usually colored, yes.
I mean, confetti usually is colored, yeah. So, but maybe with the lights glimmering, you can pass the times off as they got those big front page spreads, like full color.
I mean, I don't know if it's an actual product that is just like repurposed as is, or if anything's done to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have one way of looking at it. Like it's got to be something that is multicolored. And they just cut it up,
mm-hmm.
or if it's something that they take and repurpose by like dyeing it or something like that.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I don't even know what a ticker tape is, but ticker tape was one of my first like ideas, like a ticker tape parade.
Mm-hmm. I know the phrase.
Yes.
I don't know what ticker tape is though. Do you?
I just told you, I think, that I have no idea what it
okay.
is.
Okay. All right.
It's just like. Kind of my gut react, because I guess when I think of ticker tape parade, I think of probably confetti.
Mm.
That, you know,
there's but an association there.
Sounds
I guess.
Like streamers or something, you know.
Yeah. But I think she's looking for like a brand name.
Right? Well, I thought maybe ticker tape was a brand name. I don't know,
the famous ticker tape product. I don't know. I imagine product. It does have to be made of paper, right? They're not going to, hopefully they're not putting anything that's like not biodegradable every year after year, just putting like tons of plastic in the air.
Yeah. It seems like if they had in the past that would have to change now. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what is abundant and colorful in New York that they would have ready access to a resource, a local resource? That's why I was thinking New York Times. It's got all that paper.
Mm-hmm.
I also flowers. Product. I guess that doesn't really align with that.
Streamers. You may say I'm a streamer.
Is that a product name though? You're looking for like a product name, right? Like mm-hmm. a brand name.
Yes.
Okay. Kleenex.
Old issues of Marvel Comics.
Stanley's birthday today. We're recording on January 1st.
Happy birthday.
I believe it was his birthday today.
And RIP Stanley.
Big rip.
Packaging. Wrappers. Macy's gift wrap. All the leftover gift wrap from Christmas.
Used floats from the all the old floats from the.
I had that
Macy's
thought.
Day parade.
I had that thought, but I was just thinking that it's not good for the environment. All that nylon and you know.
It true.
Parachute material.
Something that's made out of paper.
A product.
I wish I'd paid more attention to what the confetti looked like last night if they did send it out. If they did shoot it off.
Enhance. New York Times says on a little piece of confetti. You want to go with old sure. issues? Yeah.
Old issues of the New York Times.
Yep. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Post-its.
Oh.
So I knew you guys would have that reaction. Okay.
Multicolor.
So, there's a, it's called the New Year's Eve Wishing Wall, and it is a wall in Times Square that people write their wishes for the year and put it on the wall. And they take those Post-its and they turn it into confetti with all of the wishes on it. And you can actually do this digitally as well, and it'll be printed out on a Post-it note and incorporated into the confetti.
So, sure it will.
New Year's Eve confetti is literally made from hopes and dreams.
That's beautiful. I like that. Just like you.
Aw, thanks,
honey. Okie dokie. Can you guys just calm down? Here's your second question. What popular children's book did Forrest Gump keep in his briefcase?
We will not calm down, by the way. Curious George.
Is it?
I think it's Curious George.
It's the one that his mom was reading to him at the beginning of the movie.
Mm.
Remember, she was reading a book?
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a scene after it. Jeez.
Does he talk about the man in the yellow hat?
Yeah, I can't remember. That's like, for some reason, I was initially thinking The Giving Tree, but that's not it. Because it was like a short children's book. It wasn't right. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think it is maybe Curious George.
I think it's Curious George.
Like the more you, like, she, like the mom was reading it to him, and then, because that's how they had the conversation. This is how, like, it's weird how my memory works, but. That's where he got the word vacation. Like, what does vacation mean? And then she's like, it means like you go away for a very long time, you don't come back. And she's like, oh, so dad went on vacation. And like,
oh man.
So maybe it was like Curious George Takes a Vacation or something. It was like one of those like books.
Yeah.
Would it have been around? Was Curious George around? Because like this was in the 50s, 60s, right?
Yes. I think that's when Curious George was hot. Basically,
you think so?
There was a cooling down period on George until that amazing Academy Award nominated Will Ferrell movie came out
with the Jack Johnson soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm joking, of course. It was not a revered movie, but yeah,
Jackson Johnson.
I think it's Curious George. Let's go with it.
Okay, Curious George.
That is correct. I can't stop you today.
Oh my gosh, hey, ooh, honey, ooh, ooh. Dream team.
Yep. All right. My next category for you guys is famous cities. Maybe you'll do better than sports legends. What city has both the largest population and the largest economy by GDP in the Southern Hemisphere? What city that's located in the Southern... What city of the Southern Hemisphere has both the largest population and largest economy by GDP than any other city in the Southern Hemisphere?
I don't know why I'm thinking Sao Paulo. Is that the city I'm thinking of in Brazil? Like,
That is in Brazil.
What is the other city in Brazil?
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Where in the hell is the Southern Hemisphere?
Or what's Argentina?
Earth.
What's the capital of Argentina?
How many roads must a man walk down? Yeah, I don't know.
Buenos Aires. That's the city I'm thinking of.
That is also the good air.
Yeah, I just feel like.
Maybe.
Two thumbs up to this air.
Love this air. I don't know. Air is probably doesn't mean air, but maybe it does. Good something. Well, actually, Buenos Aires. I don't know. Sounds like it might be plural.
Buenos Aires. What's? I feel like it's South American. I feel like it's a South American city.
How much of Europe is in the Southern Hemisphere? I don't know.
Like none.
Okay. Yeah. Again, I don't know where the hell the Southern Hemisphere is.
Southern Hemisphere is Central America, like Central America down, right?
Yes.
Am I losing?
I guess Central America. Well,
no. Ecuador is in South America, and it's named Ecuador because it's on the equator. So there might be some that extends down, but that should be your global.
Yeah.
Equator line country.
See, is Brazil below Ecuador?
Yes.
Okay.
And so is Australia. I don't know if, but I don't.
Could be Sydney.
Sydney, Australia. Maybe Cape Town, South Africa. I think it's South. I think it's a South American city. I think it's like a what's the capital of Venezuela again?
Jesus.
I know. I used to know all these.
Caracas?
Caracas, Venezuela. That sounds right. And like either Caracas or like Buenos Aires or Sao Paulo. It's going to be one of those, I think.
You don't feel good about Rio de Janeiro?
Maybe Rio de Janeiro. I think it's one of those.
Person with a big Jesus statue.
I thought that was Sao Paulo. Or is that Rio de Janeiro?
I thought it was Rio de Janeiro.
Maybe you're probably right.
I'm pretty sure it's Rio de Janeiro because I remember the Rock in Rio concert, and I think they showed footage of that.
Okay, okay. You're probably right then. Yeah, I'm down with one of those cities.
Let's go with Rio de Janeiro.
Wrong.
Dang it.
I'm sorry, the correct answer is Sao Paulo. Sao Paulo. And you're right. The Jesus statue, Christ the Redeemer, is what it's called. It is in Rio de Janeiro.
Okay.
Well, I got that right.
Okay. Yes.
Yep. Sao Paulo has the largest population and it is the largest economy by GDP in the Southern Hemisphere.
Okay. Well, we were on the right track. We were almost there.
So close.
Okay. So it's my turn now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Where is it?
This will be our last question, round one.
Yes. Which fast food chain founded in 1955 has been releasing music for over 30 years on their own record label for use in their restaurants?
One more time.
Which fast food chain founded in 1955 has been releasing music for over 30 years on their own record label for use in their restaurants?
Fast food chain, 1955.
That's interesting.
When was McDonald's founded?
Founded by Ray Kroc. I want to say earlier than 1955. Okay. Maybe not, though. Maybe not much earlier.
I can't think of any fast food place. Again, not entirely sure how we are defining fast food, but I can't think of any fast food place that really plays music in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Taco Bell,
Arby's, KFC, Popeyes, fucking Culver's, fucking
White Castle,
In-N-Out,
Crystal.
I mean, there's a million fucking fast food places.
Yeah, we gotta. That's our list.
I gotcha.
We gotta suss from there.
Well, I mean, it's bigger than that. If we really, those are just the ones we came off the top of our head.
Sure,
but Del Taco.
In order to not get too into the weeds here, let's just assume Subway. It's one of the bigger ones.
I don't know if you call Subway fast food.
Yeah, but. I mean, you like walk in and order, and then you don't sit down until you get your food. So I think that's like fast food is when you just like order and grab the bag and go. Fast service,
Domino's.
Okay, I would
call that like fast service. Like taco, like
the food isn't fast.
Tijuana Flats, you know, where you like go put it in and then sit down. That's fast service. What's up?
It's okay. If you're gonna make that distinction, then this is a fast service restaurant.
Oh, okay. Well, fast service. Fast service is not fast food.
Do you see?
Oh my gosh. I think when I was reading the Wikipedia page, they were considered a fast. I think the description said fast food.
Well, all the names we just said, strike. Those are all fast food. Those aren't fast service. Right? It's none of those, right?
I'm not answering that.
You got. I mean, the clarification for the question, at least.
Well, I just wanted to say that you guys might dispute the fast food chain description, even though I'm pretty sure it's...
I don't mean to call you into question. I'm just, when I think fast food, it's like, well, some people will say Quiznos is or isn't, right, or Domino's is or isn't, Pizza Hut. But, you know, when you bring up Pizza Hut, Papa John's, Domino, you're talking about pizza places that you go in, mm-hmm, order, and can get your food out relatively quick.
I would call those fast service.
Okay, then it's fast service. Yeah. I would consider Pizza Hut a fast food chain. But, you know.
No drive-through. Yeah, so fast food places usually have a drive-through.
Wow, that just really kicked the door open, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I pushed that issue. We would have looked like a couple of fucking idiots.
Thank you.
Now we'll look like idiots with more information.
I felt the need to clarify, okay.
When you walk into this place that is fast service, you're just walking in real quick to grab some food, and then you're going to get the fuck out, and they've always got music playing.
Mm-hmm.
And they make their own music because they don't want to pay for it.
Charles Entertainment Cheese. 1955, though?
No, yeah, they were after that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 1970s. Charles Entertainment Cheese. Um, 55, fast service, 55.
Pizza Hut?
Making it great.
Was it Pizza Hut? 1955?
I feel like that's too early for Pizza Hut. I might be wrong, but I think that's too early for Pizza Hut.
Where are you going out to get food in the 1960s? At the chain. That's a little bit nicer than McDonald's. TGI Fridays. Denny's. Perkins.
See, now, again, Denny's and Perkins. You're, mm-hmm, sitting down. Someone's bringing food to you. That, to me, is not fast service. That, to me, is a restaurant. But I did have that thought of Denny's, mm-hmm, or something like that, because where you want music is where you're going to be sitting down to eat, usually. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because you're going to be there for an amount of time.
Right.
But your food is still made to order. It is still like you put it in order with a waitress, not someone standing at a, mm-hmm, at a computer.
Kenny Rogers Roasters? Was he around in 1955 doing chicken stuff back then? Was he doing chicken stuff?
Got what about music? KFC? That's fast food, huh?
Mm-hmm. The music thing.
I mean, aren't fast service restaurants restaurants?
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Blurred aren't lines! Fast service restaurants restaurants? Well, then why would we say fast at all?
Because it's fast. It's intended to be like
Tijuana Flats is fast service. It's intended to be faster than a regular restaurant that you would go and sit down at. So you order at the counter, but then you sit down and eat your food there.
So you are, yeah, like you're sitting there.
We also have to consider a time before, like, so KFC may have been around in 1955. KFC, mm-hmm, may have been around with no drive-through. At the, mm-hmm, time, they may have just been fast service inside, for all, yeah, we fucking know.
Yeah.
What do I know?
I guess no wait staff. Like, if you have wait staff, it's not fast service. Like Denny's and Perkins. You order at a counter, and then you go sit down and have your food.
Oh, my gosh. This, I guess you guys are just going to hate this question.
Zaxby's. Too late. Zaxby's.
How about, like, I mean, it's a fucking chain, though. It's a fucking restaurant chain.
Zaxby's, okay, restaurant chain. Yeah. Okay, restaurant chain.
Jesus.
Is fast food
restaurant literally described chain. As, like, a fast food IHOP. Chain. In the Wikipedia article, but whatever.
No, those are...
Oh!
What?
It's Waffle House.
Oh, yeah? Waffle House
Waffle
Records?
House has a bunch of... Yeah, has a bunch of Waffle House songs. It is a restaurant. It is definitely fast. And you can get all these songs that are like, oh, play Scattered, Smothered, and Covered by, you know, by Kyle Ann. It's like, put it on the jukebox, and it's like, because I'm scattered, smothered, and covered. And, like, write a song about hash browns.
That's
it's
awesome.
It's gotta be Waffle House.
Let's do it. Waffle House.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Yay! Well, you're lucky you redeemed your fucking self, because I love that question because it's Waffle House related.
Exactly. That's why I was like, motherfucker, you know this.
Like, I mean,
and again, you know this, man.
This is just one of those things when you're writing questions, like the wording of stuff will just auto, like, and I hate to be that person, but every time I hear a question, I start immediately like breaking it down to like, okay, fast food, what does that mean? And what does this person think fast food is? Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, like to an extent it is fast food, but it's a restaurant, you know what I mean? So it's like,
in the Wikipedia article, it was described as a fast food chain. And the founder of Waffle House, he was literally inspired by like McDonald's. He's like, I want to make a McDonald's, but like for breakfast food.
But like the whole thing about McDonald's to me is specifically that they have a drive through. That to me,
they didn't always have the drive through though, did they?
The Wikipedia says a restaurant chain is an American restaurant chain with 2,100 locations in 25 states. It does not say fast food.
Under McDonald's?
Under Waffle House.
Oh, okay.
And they consume, they use 2% of the,
I thought you were going to say 2% milk.
No, they use the 2% of like the restaurant industry, like in the U.S. is eggs. Like a whole 2% is just for Waffle House.
Wow.
They do have a number of facts that they usually have up. Like if you were to take all the bacon we sell in 1 year, we'd wrap around the United States or wrap around the world like 5 times. All these like kind of scary things.
Yeah.
2% of the fucking world's eggs. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ almighty, what the hell are we doing?
And of course it serves as FEMA's Waffle House index to determine how bad storms are. If the Waffle House is closed, that means it's fucked, basically.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Now I want a waffle.
Right? This was my plan.
Well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and take a look at some miscorrections and no-notes before we get to round two.
Nice.
We're back and we have some no notes.
Missed corrections.
There we go. Thank you, Mike C, for the theme there. The miscorrection.
That's our favorite.
No note theme. I mean, is it your favorite?
Well, I like them all.
Yeah.
All four of them are good. I feel like we've done that a couple of times, though. So I figured that's probably.
It's in the rotation for sure.
I think he said that it was his favorite.
Ah, there we go. It's a good one, though. We like hearing from Howard.
Yes.
Howard. Maybe I should make one.
Yeah. Please do.
Make one for
Rate My Question.
Rate My Question, please, because we don't have one for that.
Okay. Yep.
So we have some no notes here. Andrew Fifik wrote in to clarify that bamboo is not a kind of wood. So nothing against you, Mark. I think you answered the question properly. I said that that Horaiuji is made of what? And you said bamboo, and I said, no, it's another type of wood. So I made the mistake there. It's a type of grass, Andrew clarified. It's mostly cellulose. It has a matrix of lignin that makes it hard and woody.
Mark, wood-esque.
Do you know what lignin is?
I don't.
Lignin balls. There you go. Yeah, so you do know what it is. You do know what it is.
That picture of Rorschach and Dr. Manhattan, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the Ligma meme.
Where he says, Steve Jobs died of Ligma. And I can't remember how it goes, but he just says, like, my balls and blows. Just fucking floors me every fucking time I see it.
Yes.
We'll never not repost.
Yes. And we also heard from Mo. Mo writes, at Quizmaster Lee, hey, thanks for the pibs, man. But Mark Davis, I actually agree with you and will tweak the Pokemon question, how you said, to use it at a friend's trivia night I'm putting together.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could help. Hey, I love to meet a fan.
Yep. And if you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, as Andrew and Mo did, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. Or find us on our social media channels. Popular drinks is the category I have for you guys here. Popular drinks. What popular drink is made from berries and has a name that comes from the Arabic word for a type of wine? What popular drink is made from berries and has a name that comes from the Arabic word for a type of wine?
What type of drink?
Popular drink.
What popular drink?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a name brand?
No.
Okay.
It's a type of drink. But its name comes from an Arabic word for a type of wine.
Okay. The first thing that comes to mind for me is lambic, which is a type of fermented beverage, and it's supposed to be made with fruit. Like, and that's the distinguishing factor between like lambic and like beer.
Lambic pentameter.
Is that there isn't there isn't
capital I.
There isn't a
it's like a little L.
There isn't a like I don't think I think it's that there isn't malt in it. And it's just fermented berries.
Well, I would normally say I don't know what the fuck that is, so that can't be the answer, but I also didn't know who fucking what's his face was that died at that wreck.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm just
that was obscure, to be fair, unless you're like into that kind of thing. I think that was a little niche, in my opinion.
I'm hoping that this quiz, much like 2021, starts a little hard, maybe gets a little easier as it goes on.
This guy
over here.
So yeah, if it's a popular drink made from berries, like lambic, I wouldn't call it a popular drink.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, it's a drink.
Kombucha?
Kombucha isn't made from berries. I mean, it can be made from berries.
It doesn't have to be made from berries. Does it say it's made from berries? Never mind. It's got to be made from berries. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to think of drinks made from berries.
Mead is made from honey, yes. You know, did you guys get mead from Luke?
No.
Sad to say we didn't.
Bunch of people did, and I did not. And I don't want to be like...
But you're going to be.
I mean, come the fuck on. We were in a band together. I hope... Now, he did send me...
We should have told Mark that we got some.
Oh, he actually did ask for our address, and I did not PM him our address. I forgot.
Well, there you go. Thanks, darling.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, I think right. It was on your post, wow. So I figured you would have done it already.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, congratulations to those of you that got Luke's delicious meat.
It looked amazing.
And
shout out, Luke.
More for you. I mean, we know, that Luke is good. We know that Luke is good.
Because I'm so buttered about
it. Luke, if you're listening, we'd love to have you back on at some point. Maybe we can zoom you in.
Did you send me mead?
Okay, so anyway, berry.
Motherfucker.
Popular drink made from berries. Oh. Is it gin? Because gin is made from juniper berries.
Yes.
I don't think we have a better option here that I can think of.
But popular drink? Is gin a popular drink?
Yes, people love gin.
You sounded like hesitant at the end. I mean, people love gin, and I know they do. That's not my problem. But I don't think of gin as a drink. You know what I mean? Like, I think gin is an alcohol, but I don't think people talk about gin as like a drink. When I think of like, oh, name a popular drink, it's like Coca-Cola or, you know, is there some other like new hip thing that's like kombucha?
No, there's coffee is made from berries. I mean, technically fucking chocolate milk is made
you know what?
From berries.
You've made a guess before and I derailed us and I was wrong. So if you want to go with gin, let's go with gin.
Can you just reread the question again?
I will.
What popular drink that is made with berries?
Made from berries.
Made from berries.
And has a name that comes from the Arabic word for a type of wine.
A type of wine.
I'm just going to go with gin. Let's go with gin.
We're going to say gin.
Wrong. Once again, you guys danced right over it. It comes in two types, Robusta and Arabica.
It's fucking coffee.
Kawa is the Arabic word coffee.
See, is that like kava? What the hell is kava?
Kava is roots. It's made from a ground up root.
You're thinking of civet.
Kava, don't know what the fuck I'm thinking of.
That's cat
but kava
coffee.
Is another popular thing that I know is going around. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where I was going with the kombucha thing. This is all shit I have nothing to do with because I'm an old white man. But like I was going to suggest something like that, but when you used to kava, I was like, oh my God, if it was going to be kava and I like almost went there, but I gave up for gin, I would have been so mad.
There's a bit of a misdirection in here because it is made from berries, but most people think of coffee beans, but they're only called beans because of their shape. They're not actually beans.
Hey, watch this. Bum 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 ba da 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 dum bum bum dun dun. Misdirection.
Yes, not to be confused with miscorrections.
No.
No. Misdirections. No. That, we need a different theme for that, I think. It's very close.
Well, no, the whole reason I did it is because they sound exactly the same.
Oh.
Because you said, yes, that's very good. Are you ready, Kyle? I know you're staring deeply into Bayou's eyes, Boo's eyes.
Boo-bye.
I am ready. I got my cue. Cockle bread was an inferior type of British corn or wheat bread from the 17th century that women would knead with what body part before baking it and giving it to their romantic interests?
Cockle bread. They would knead it with what body part before giving it to their romantic interests?
Well,
lovely.
Titties?
That's what I was thinking.
I mean, titties aren't great for kneading, though. I mean, I need them, but they're not great for kneading. Because they're not very firm.
And I don't think you have a lot of muscular control. You got the pecs that can kind of direct the titty, but
first
they're not prehensile.
First of all, we kind of need to, I think, consider the fact that it might not be a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it could be.
Yep. I think it is.
Boob butt vagina.
Mm-hmm. WAP.
Boob butt vagina. The three B's. Boob butt vagina.
Yep.
But it could be like your elbows or something like that for like good luckers. I don't know.
Use your elbows for good luck when you make your cockle bread.
I mean, as strange as it may be, the vagina might be the best thing for kneading dough if you like straddle it because you have pelvic bone right there.
That just, I mean, bread is so soft. Like, the dough is so soft.
What about your mouth?
No. Like, you kiss the bread? You're kiss like bread. Massaging the bread? I think it's the titties, man.
All right.
I think you,
fine.
You know,
hey,
drop that dough in
I'm
between.
I'm not here to fight with you.
And let's go to town kneading, you know, like maybe it's like it's rolled or something. You grab the side titty and you make like a rolling motion.
I knew this would happen and I'm
like,
so glad I asked like, this question.
Almost like titty fucking. You put it between the boobies and you squeeze them together.
That's,
okay,
that's
we're
exactly what I think. And it keeps it warm. So it does something to it to keep because it keeps it warm.
Well, you need heat to make the dough rise. That's
right,
true.
Right. Titties.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
The correct answer.
Just wanted to let you have your fun. Tell me it's the vagina.
It's the butt.
Oh,
so you actually choice. Were on the right track. So the practice was known
booty
as
booty bread.
Booty bread. So the practice was known as
doo-doo butter on there.
Oh no.
Oh, what is this? What is this brown streak in my? Oh snap!
It's called pumpernickel.
This key with okay.
Marble rye.
Pumpernickel.
So the practice was known as molding, and It was a dance that involved revealing the buttocks and simulating activity on the bread.
Simulating activity?
Yes. So
does that mean pretending like you're
fucking? This is a real documented thing, and it was women would get up on a table board as they gathered up their knees and their coats with their hands as high as they can, and then they wobble to and fro with the buttocks as if they were kneading of dough with their arses.
Damn.
And then while doing this, the women would have to sing a rhyme.
Coyote Fugly.
The rhyme was, "My dame is sick and gone to bread. I'll go mold my cockle bread. Up with my heels and down with my head. And this is the way to mold cockle bread."
Down with my head. Hell yeah.
Right? And it was done as, it was like a natural magic ritual. So, it was supposed to be like a love charm.
Damn. It's like out of a Dave Eggers movie.
Yes.
If any chicks out there want to make me some cockle bread with that booty butter.
Booty bread.
Get on
booty,
it.
Booty, booty bread.
Booty bread. Booty, booty, booty bread. Here's your question. If something is ordered a la Cressy, with what is it garnished? If something... the way I worded this back in the day, I was just getting crazy. If something is ordered a la Cressy, with what is it garnished? That's a la Crecy.
Crecy.
With what is it garnished? I sound like a 17th century riddler.
With what is it garnished?
If something is ordered a la Crissy.
I don't know why.
With what is it garnished?
I like it though, Mark.
I don't know why I'm thinking egg.
Crissy.
Like there's an egg on top. A la Crissy.
Hmm.
Like a la mode, obviously, is with ice cream on top.
So is this another French word?
Mm-hmm. So what is the French word for egg is what I would want to know. What does cressy mean in French? Mm. If we knew about French, we would know this probably.
French stuff.
I'm just trying to think of like things like French cooking things. A la cressy.
Celery. It's like a chicken wing thing. You mean chicken wings a la cressy?
Or maybe it's like with what garnish? I don't know why I'm thinking egg and I just can't.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a French thing to do. Put an egg on top.
Or like bechamel sauce. What garnish? I mean, it's not a garnish.
No. It's garnished with what?
I mean, I could see how egg could be like
with what classified is it garnished?
As a garnish.
With what
garnish,
is it garnished?
Like mm-hmm. as like a.
I like egg.
Are we going with egg?
Let's go with it.
Okay.
Egg.
Egg is incorrect. The correct answer is carrot.
Okay.
Carrot.
All right.
I would like it a la cressy. I would like a la cressy, please.
Never in my
just
life.
Just put a carrot on it.
Can never I get my chicken life. Wings a la cressy?
Yeah.
And do you have a ranch sauce?
Yes.
To go with my a la cressy?
Please just put a carrot
salsa
on it.
Salsa a la rancho.
Por favor.
Are you guys ready for a question about the jazz influence?
Okay,
oh,
sure.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Yeah.
Yeah? You're gonna?
I'm not gonna get it. Is what I'm trying. What I'm trying to tell you is, I'm about to fucking stumble and fall.
Well, this is not a question about jazz. It's a question about the jazz influence.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's much better.
What setting from a famous '90s television show is named after a legendary jazz composer and pianist?
What setting from a what?
From a famous '90s television show is named after a legendary jazz composer and pianist.
Setting for a 90s show?
Yes. What setting from a famous 90s television show is named after a legendary jazz composer and pianist?
I guess it's like what like place they go to, like Central Perk.
For a 90s show.
That 90s show.
Did they make it that far in that series? I know they had 70s and 80s. Did they make it to the 90s?
They have not made
what
it
is
to
the name
90s.
Of the coffee place in Frasier?
I can't remember.
Hmm. I'm thinking, because like when he said setting, I was thinking, is it like a fictional town?
Could be.
Or is it, or if it's a setting, is it like some sort of like show where there was a jazz bar or something that was named after like
well, that's
a
the
jazz
thing.
Musician?
Again, I mean like this, I think, okay. So when I think setting, I think you're more right. It's like a town.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the greater thing. It's like where the show takes place. So like Becker takes place in a doctor's office or whatever, like pretty much all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like that, or like the name of a town where someone is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I asked that question about Neptune, California, like Veronica Mars takes place in Neptune, California. That's yeah. the setting. Jazz pianists.
Jazz pianist. Like Dave Brubeck or, wasn't Thelonious Monk a pianist?
Yeah. I think so. Herbie Hancock. I don't know if he really did jazz. I guess he did.
He did. Cab Calloway, wasn't he a pianist?
I think he was just a singer. I might be wrong.
You're right. I think you're right, actually.
I don't know why I'm having such a hard time drumming up names of jazz pianists.
Right? Same.
I'm trying to figure out like which angle is the best angle, but I think Django Reinhardt was a guitarist.
Yes. Joao Gilberto. I don't know. But none of these, like, we're thinking of these names and none of these are ringing a bell as to, like, a setting in a show.
90s TV show.
If you tell me the show, we're going to get it, I assume.
It is a very popular show from the 90s.
What popular shows from the 90s? Roseanne?
Friends. Wasn't Frasier popular 90s show? What about
Cheers? Was there a jazz musician named Boston? Well, I guess Cheers was 80s to 90s.
And the name of the bar is Cheers.
Oh, yeah. See, so, like, I'm like getting so stuck on city.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other 90s shows that, like, Seinfeld.
Mm.
Do they go to any
it's just
place?
New York just, City.
Yeah, it's just the restaurant, even, like.
Well, what was the name of the restaurant?
It was, like, I don't even know.
It was restaurant.
It was restaurant.
There are all these names I'm just thinking of, like Art Blakey.
Yeah.
Who I think isn't, maybe not a musician, maybe he's just a, no, Art Blakey was a musician.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Playing that jazz piano, tickling those jazz ivories. Give it up for Duke Ellington?
I thought he was a sax player. Am I losing my mind?
You might be right. What's his name is a sax player? Birdland.
Charlie Parker.
I think Duke Ellington is a pianist.
Is he?
I think so, because I think I actually asked a question about him.
Okay.
But, again, like, oh.
Ellington's?
Yeah.
Ellington's.
Or Ellington, Missouri.
I don't fucking know.
We'll say, 90s TV show. What the fuck?
Yeah. I wasn't really watching a lot of shows in the 90s. I don't know.
I guess I wasn't either. I was in the beginning of the 90s, but like once I went to high school and I did like the whole like getting into music and
yeah, same.
Stuff. It was like, what TV?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember watching the beginning of Roseanne so clearly. Mm-hmm. I was so into it. And then like once I got friends and like started playing music, it was just like,
that's exactly how I was.
There is so much of pop culture I missed because I was like out with my friends doing stupid shit, which is the way it should be.
I guess. I think so. I agree.
I guess we'll go with, come on. There's going to be some other jazz pianist that we're missing, like a big one. There's got to be one. Kyle, we're musicians.
I know.
And I know neither of us are like terribly into jazz, but like we've got to be able to think of somebody.
I'm thinking about all like these classic.
Mark is like trying to kickstart his brain, I think.
I don't know. I fucking don't know.
We'll say Duke Ellington.
Okay. No, there is no setting named Duke Ellington from a 90s popular TV show. As far as I know, you did have all of the correct pieces established during your sus. It is from Seinfeld. The name of the restaurant in real life is Tom's Restaurant.
I knew which Tom's.
Is Tom's Diner, the Susan Vega song named after that.
Suzanne
Vega. Thank yes. you. Suzanne Vega song. But it is Monk's Cafe in Seinfeld. Monk's
Thelonious
Cafe.
Monk.
Yes. And that named such because there was a framed poster of Thelonious Monk hanging in the writer's room of Seinfeld when they were working on the rest of the first season. It had, I think it was called Oh, there, it had another name for episode one. I think it's like Pete's or something like that. And they changed it funny? To Monk's.
I almost went with Monk because Thelonious Monk, because there was a show called Monk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what are the chances that his name is Monk and that it's set in a place called Monk? But I, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that would have been like a wrong way to go about it. But
yeah, not bad, though. I mean, if you're picking up a thread,
yeah,
might not be right, but that's not a bad thread to pick up and investigate. I think Monk came out in the 2000s. I could be wrong, though.
All right, Kyle Ann. Okay. Hit me with your best shot. Us, you're with your best shot. Oh, with your best shot. Real quick.
Yeah.
Where are we sitting with a purple mattress?
Purple mattress.
Because last week we did not talk about it.
Yeah.
I need to get an update.
Another though. 2020 thing.
I'm thinking
we got a mattress in 2020.
It's growing. It's
one thing that happened.
Growing on me.
Yeah, I don't notice the grid as much anymore. But there is one time.
That's what they want you to do.
There is one time that I noticed the grid quite a bit. And that is during lovemaking.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Because you
want when you're in it to win it and you got your hands are driven down into the grid.
Mm-hmm.
You want there to be handles to give you that, you know,
okay.
extra leverage.
If there were handles because, on our mattress,
because there's
not talking about the handles that are on the side of a mattress, right?
No. I'm talking about in because your fingers go into the grid and you gotcha. Want to grip them.
Oh,
but okay. you can't. There's a bunch of padding in the way. You can't. So I would recommend to the engineers at Purple, if you could put about 6 inches from the top of the mattress and about like on a king size bed, probably about a foot in on either side. You just have two pockets that are like totally enclosed, you know, that you can just grip, you know, put your fingers. You don't want the handles sticking up. You don't want to put handles on it, but you need some grip because you just want to do it. And the grid on a normal mattress, it's totally smooth and you can just work your own thing out. But the grid, it's like inviting you to grip it. You know, you just want to grip that bed.
I've never been so sorry that I've asked a question before in my life.
Well, there's your answer, Mark. That's what I'm thinking about the purple mattress.
Okay. How about you, Kyle? Oh, you said it's growing on you.
It's right? growing on yeah. me. Okay. Yes.
You got a question?
I do. It's hard to tell because like our mattress before was so fucking shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, obviously, like this is definitely anything
we wrote it
is a
the wheels
up.
Fell off, basically.
Yeah.
In the words of Harry Potter, anything's better than crawling.
What?
It's from Wizard People Dear Reader, which was
by Brad Neely,
the same guy who did Washington. He's Washington, 6 feet mm-hmm. four, weigh mm-hmm. a fucking ton, et cetera, et cetera.
China, Illinois.
He did this whole thing where you could play this audio track along with the first Harry Potter.
Yes,
movie.
I'm familiar.
And in it, one of the funniest parts that absolutely had me fucking just doubled over laughing was talking about when Harry Potter was living with his muggle adoptive parents,
the Dursleys,
and he was casting many a wine out of water spells living underneath the stairs. He gets taken by Hagrid and he says, anything is better than crawling. I can't remember exactly the context, but it just sent me into an absolute fucking collapse of laughter.
That is 100% worth watching.
Especially if you're a Harry Potter fan. I will say it does, like most things, because it's like 2 hours long. It does start to kind of taper off around the end, but the first like hour is just fucking comic gold.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Hardcastle McCormick.
Kyle.
Yes.
A question, please.
Yes. Okay. The 1983 Rick James single, Cold Blooded, was written about which child actress with whom he had a very public and passionate relationship with? Now, I'm going to say she was not a child actress at the time, but she was. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank God.
Yeah, I just need to clarify. She was an adult woman at the time, but she
evolved
was
into a super freak.
Ha ha ha.
What is it? Cold Blooded?
Cold Blooded. It was that song I was listening to earlier.
It was referenced in the Ricky,
sketch.
Yes.
The Chappelle sketch.
Yeah.
Rick James.
Cold Blooded. Mm-hmm. He sings it after he punches him in the head or slaps him in the face or whatever he does. Well, that song was written in, I think, the 70s.
It was released in 83. I don't know if he wrote it.
So he must have been, you know, in his 30s around then or whatever. So we're talking about a child actress
mm-hmm.
from the 70s or 60s, something like that.
Lisa Bonet.
Lisa Bonet was pretty young when in 83 when the pudding pops.
I think that was Bill Cosby.
It was. Yes. Guys, I do so many good
I thought you were riffing like a bass jam or something.
I'm writing a new Seinfeld song.
Yeah.
Pudding pops. Could be her.
Maybe the timeline doesn't match up. My first thought was Shirley Temple, but that's probably too old. That's Rick James.
Shirley Temple.
So she's cold-blooded. She's cold-blooded.
She was old-blooded.
Yeah.
Do we want to?
That's all I got.
Do we want to? Are we going with any child actor? Or are we looking specific things specifically as one that's black?
I mean, any child actor. I'm assuming that Rick James does not care.
Also, when you said Lisa Bonet, very briefly, my mind went to John Bonet.
Oh no.
Oh no. That's what happened to her.
Yeah.
Rick James got his fingers on her.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly. John Bonet. Or Jesus Christ, Lisa Bonet. So Lisa Bonet, when I mean, it could be Lisa Bonet. She could have just been pretty young. I don't know how old she was when she did the Cosby Show, but
when did that start? 70
The Cosby Show? No, 80? the '80s. Mid '80s.
Oh, okay.
Like mm-hmm. early to mid 80s, I think.
And when did the song come out?
83.
Oh, now then. I don't think so. Right? Because she was like, she wasn't an adult on the Cosby Show, was she? Was she like a teenager?
She may have played a teenager, but been older. She may be 18. Oh. I mean, you know.
83.
How old was Jason Schwartzman when he did Rushmore? Playing a high schooler?
Mm-hmm. All right, what shows do we have? Do you
think it was Gary Coleman?
Cold-blooded.
What you talking about?
Very public, passionate relationship.
Yeah, I don't know anything about his like love life, and I don't really want to. Mm. The woman who played Violet Beauregard.
I don't know child actors from before the 80s. Like, Drew Barrymore was a kid in the 80s, you know. And that's a hilarious pairing as adults anyway, Drew Barrymore and Rick James. He's crazy.
I think Lisa Bonet might be the best guess we have. I'm trying to think of someone who played...
Somebody... Lil Rascals? I mean, that's the thing, like, child actor. Who are we not thinking of?
Let me ask you a weird question. Mm-hmm. Are you sure we'll know this person's name?
Yes.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I mean, it could be like one of those like, oh, like someone, but we just don't know their name.
No, you know, you'll know.
TV shows of the 60s and 70s. MASH.
I never said she was in a TV show.
Oh, okay. That's true.
You said child actor?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just assumed TV.
Could it be...
Jodie Foster.
Could it be LaToya Jackson?
Was she an actress?
I don't know. I mean, I could see her acting in something. And the Jacksons were... I mean, I guess you wouldn't really call her an actor or an actress.
Nope. Let's go with Lisa Bonet. All
right, we're going to say
Lisa Bonet. We've sussed. Lisa Bonet.
I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
Mm. Okay.
The correct answer... is Linda Blair.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
And so here's the story. Here's the story. She posed nude for We magazine, which was like similar to a Playboy back.
OUI.
Yes.
I may or may not still have a copy of that from my olden days pre-internet.
I thought you were going to say a subscription.
Yeah, maybe.
I may or may not still have a subscription.
So she posed. I think she wasn't nude. She was topless.
Nintendo.
And it was like a lot of racy photos for this spread for this gentleman's magazine. And they did an interview with her where she mentioned that she thinks Rick James is extremely sexy. And she says this in the interview. And so he actually saw this and reached out to her and was like, hey, this is like likewise. And so they started dating publicly, and they were together for like, I think, a few years, and it was a very passionate affair. Here's a picture of them from that era.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ebony they look and Ivory.
They look very happy.
I know they were happy. Actually, he wrote about her in his autobiography, and he talked about how he loved their relationship and how she was just so much fun and like such a warm person. And she has like apparently said similar things, like Rick James was awesome and like we had a beautiful relationship. It just didn't work out.
But he had to write a nasty song about her.
It wasn't like it wasn't nasty. It was it wasn't intended to be nasty. It was intended to be like she froze his blood, I guess, where in like you know, like you freeze me in my tracks, you know.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like you did me dirty, like you're cold-blooded, like you don't care about me.
No, not like that at all.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
All right, not sure if you guys are going to get this or not, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to ask you this, Tuffy.
Okay. It's fair.
Because it's been a while since I've asked you a question about the chemical elements. How many chemical elements begin with the letter V?
Is vibranium real or is that a Marvel Comics invention?
I think that's a Marvel Comics.
Okay.
Isn't valium an element?
No, valium's a drug.
Yeah, but I thought it's like, just like lithium is a drug, it's also an element.
Oh.
Boom goes the dynamite.
Does that mean yes? Is that what you're saying? That
I'm just saying, you know me. I've been known to both give and not give information by saying yes or saying no to things that are facts.
Playing dirty.
So I'm pretty sure valium is one of them. I could be wrong, but I'm like,
I could be wrong. I could be right. I could be black. I could be white.
Because I feel like I remember seeing that. Like, because when I was in high school, I was terrible at like science things. And I remember when we had to be tested on the elements, that was like, oh, it's just memorizing all the elements. I can do that. You know, like understanding how to solve these weird physics problems I can't do, but memorizing elements, done. So I feel like I remember seeing valium on there. I feel like there's at least one.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go with like the putting in like the vowels on the end of V, like
that's va, what I was thinking too.
Va,
like VA v, is valium.
Vo, vitruvium.
I think that's also one. I think that's, yeah. I think you might be right. That sounds right.
See, this is, you could actually learn to suss this if you don't even need to memorize, I think, a lot of them, but you could like memorize suffixes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of shared suffixes.
Mm-hmm.
Like eum, you know, and you can, vitruvium, you can kind of like put them together if you know those, but I don't know those.
Mm-hmm.
But that insight just occurred to me, so I just thought I would share that.
I'm thinking it's, I mean, I can't think of any other ones than that.
So you want to go with two?
Yeah.
Do we want to have a buffer at all? And just say there's probably one we're not thinking of, or do we just want to go with two? I guess, why would we do that?
Yeah.
Two.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
Valium is not one.
Damn it.
But lithium is, and that was a very, very smart sus. The correct answer is one, vanadium.
Vitruvium isn't even one.
Is the only
vanadium
chemical element. With V, and its letter is V.
V, okay.
For Vendetta.
V for Cyberpunk 2077. Ooh. I asked a question about that this week. I asked what the protagonist's name is, and when there was groans from the audience because it was like half of people over the age of 50, I said, here's your out. Their name is a letter of the alphabet. You have 26 options. Go.
V, wow. Was the, V was the answer?
V is the answer, yes. That's the protagonist's name. All right.
For Vendetta.
So that is round two.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, yep. That's right.
Let's take another little break, and then we have quite a few Rate My Questions we can take a look at here.
People just want us to rate that shit.
Mm-hmm. right, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions. Okay. We have our first one here is from Proverbial Lightkeeper Matt.
Matt Hoffman.
Yes. He says, gentlemen and guest.
He knew.
Listening to the podcast and thought I'd drop in with a question. Aeroelastic flutter is the main cause of what engineering disaster that occurred on November 7th, 1940? Aeroelastic flutter is the main cause of what engineering disaster that occurred on November 7th, 1940?
Hindenburg?
That's what I was thinking.
That and, sounds right.
Oh, the huge manatee?
Mm-hmm. 1940.
The huge manatee.
That's a Moldy Peaches song, right?
I don't know.
I'm just a huge manatee.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she does say that. But I know that it's been around as a meme for a while.
Right. 1940, the date sounds about right, or was that earlier than that? No, that was right about that time. Sounds
about right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right.
It was like give or take a couple years, I would say.
Matt says, love the podcast as always. Here's a link to a doc with the answer. Perfect.
Love him.
Let's love get this Matt. Loaded. Oh. We didn't suss far enough. This is a famous event. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge collapse.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. He writes, it was nicknamed the Galloping Gertie during construction because it would move vertically in windy conditions. It collapsed 4 months after opening to the public, although no human fatalities were caused by the collapse. A Cocker Spaniel named Tubby was unfortunately killed.
Oh, no.
Yep. The engineering failures have been heavily researched and ultimately influenced future bridge design. And he's included a link here to the collapse. I will put that in the show notes. I guess they have a video of it. Wow. So yeah, that happened in 1940.
I'm giving that a fucking A+. And I'll tell you what I love about it is that it's one of those where it's so easy to get cocky and be like, oh, it's what was it? What was
aeroelastic flutter?
Aero. I mean, you're immediately like, oh, air. Come on.
Flying.
How dare you even question my intel? Of course I know what this is.
Yeah.
It's sneaky. It's good. It's referencing another semi-well-known catastrophe.
Yep.
Beautiful question.
Mm-hmm.
You better give this fucking Pibs, buddy.
I give it a Pibs. It's not like Pibs does not. I think we have two different things going on here. Yours is more feeling like I like this question. I don't like this question. And mine is more like just using a metric to say, like, does this have the bare bones necessities?
Well, you know, yeah, but I mean, decent like, question,
because Moe's in particular, you picked up on something that Pibs did not address, which was like, this is a very difficult question for a general audience, even though I gave it full Pibs.
Yeah.
You know, so we're looking at it from all angles here is how I look at it.
Yeah.
But I do give this Pibs.
Basically, this is like a trainee's finger trap situation.
Mm-hmm. Or a Hellraiser puzzle box.
Front end and I'm coming from the back end.
Yes. We have such wonderful sights to show you. Okay. So, yeah, I give that full Pibs, though. It's
Kyle.
History popular.
How do you feel about that question? You like it?
Guy wouldn't even let me explain my Pibs.
I'm sorry. Well, it's all right. What Pibs
I like
is.
It.
You know.
By now, if you don't know what Pibs is, go back 4 episodes.
This could be somebody's first episode.
No, it isn't.
It could be.
We have all listeners. Could be.
People jump in, you know?
I know.
Yeah, I would say I like it. It's, like you said, it's something that not the general audience would know, really, which I like. I like that it's not super easy. But yeah, I like that when you think about it, yeah, that's correct. It's we obviously went with like something more like the Hindenburg is definitely a more renowned disaster.
Well, we didn't really consider anything after
exactly.
that. We settled on
like,
it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why I like it is that you're like, oh, well, it's got to be that, yep. You know.
Yep. So, yeah, Matt, challenging our assumptions there. Mm-hmm. Now we have a note here from Katie Willemzig. Katie writes, hey, guys, hope you're doing great. I'm enjoying the podcast as always, so thanks for all you do.
I'm glad. I thought Katie dropped off the face of the planet there.
Katie writes, and yes, Mark, there are plenty of listeners who happily listen to you guys for 2+ hours, so no need to reduce your sus time.
Bless you. Bless you, Katie Willemzig.
I have a rate my question for you guys. Prior to the terror attack on 9/11, what non-natural disaster event marked the largest loss of U.S. civilian lives?
I was just reading about this to like for an engineering disaster. I think it was an engineering disaster.
Well, I don't read my questions about people dying and bad shit happening.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it isn't.
History's full of
2021.
It. Yeah.
I feel like I did just recently read about this, though.
Is it possible? Wasn't there like a boat explosion in a harbor? And there was a lot of workers that were working in the harbor that were black military members, basically. And it was like kind of a dangerous like place to work. So there was, this was like in the 50s and 60s or 40s or 50s or something. So there was basically a huge loss of life because one of these boats exploded. Does that ring a bell to you guys?
No.
I was automatically thinking the Oklahoma City bombing.
That might be it. Can you reread the question? What year did it happen?
It doesn't say. It says, prior to the terror attacks on 9/11, what non-natural disaster event marked the largest loss of U.S. Oh, it says civilian lives. So what I was talking about was a military thing anyway. Yeah. So that might discount that. Non-natural disaster event.
Maybe it is like
most civilians.
Mm-hmm. Could it be a cult thing? Like mass suicide?
Civilian life in the U.S.?
Mm-hmm.
Well, any
U.S. Civilians, but I mean, like, if you take into account, like, Jonestown.
That was in Guyana, though.
Right, but those are U.S. citizens. I mean, it's not saying in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they get citizenship to Guyana.
Okay.
I mean, I might be wrong. I'm just kind of thinking, stretching it to all sides.
Right.
So, I mean, if those were all U.S. citizens, and it was 900 people or whatever.
Right.
That could be it.
I feel like the Oklahoma City bombing, that was a nursery exploded, right? That was the big...
The bomb went off below the childcare facility.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many lives. I think it was, I don't know, how many people? 100?
I don't know.
There was hundreds of casualties, if I remember correctly. I don't remember. It was the cover of Newsweek.
TBPH? I don't know.
Non-natural disaster event. That seems like a very important part of this question.
I feel like I know this. I'm just not thinking of it.
Well, Oklahoma City bombing... Those people would still be considered civilians, mm-hmm. right? Even if they're working for like the state or whatever.
Yeah.
And thanks to Matt, we know it's not the Tacoma Narrows bridge collapse because there's no human loss of life there.
Well,
wasn't there another bridge collapse that claimed hundreds of lives?
R.A.P. Tubby.
But she specified U.S.
Yeah. U.S. civilians.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, maybe the Oklahoma City bombings or something.
Yeah. It's got to be the Oklahoma City bombing or maybe Jonestown. I think Jonestown is nice and tricky. I mean, it was 800, 900 people. Yeah. A bunch of people fucking died.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I know it wasn't on American soil, but Jonestown was largely Americans, yes?
Yes, yeah. I believe so.
From what I know. I didn't see the new miniseries.
I think we should go with Jonestown, guys.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see.
I'm going to look up the answer here.
Being wrong. I did bring up both answers, so I'll just be like going against myself.
Yeah.
Hey!
Oh my God, it was Jonestown.
The Jonestown Massacre led by Jim Jones on November 18th, 1978.
What is up, baby? Yes.
What was that guy's name again? Dick Vitale.
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
What is up, baby?
Hey, baby!
The Jonestown Massacre, baby! Yeah!
Who wants some Flavor-Aid, baby?
I do.
Good luck,
Fruit Smack, baby!
Good luck getting those levels under control.
I'm Dick Vitale. Who wants to commit mass suicide, baby? All right. So I'm giving this Pibs again. This is a great, succinct question that's delicately worded. Great job, Katie.
A Pibs on this. +++. I don't know that I've enjoyed a question more.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they put the date on there, though. I wish they put a date. I guess maybe that would have given it away, though.
Well, I mean,
it definitely
maybe,
helps.
Maybe not, but like
the date, by the way, is November 18th, 1978. She if did they just
said
that here.
I wish they said just 1978.
Yeah,
you know, just to narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we were still able to suss it.
Yeah.
Yep. We still did it.
You can't fault it.
The beautiful thing is that it didn't happen on American soil. The use of the word American citizens.
Yep. U.S. civilians.
Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's something that did not happen in America. So many people died in it. What a fucking, those are two beautiful questions right there.
Yeah.
Loved them.
Yes, indeed. And we have a call here from Aaron.
Good morning and happy New Year's 2021, no nonsense folks. This is A.A. Ron, known as Aaron, known as the guy who had no idea what pointy bell was and thought it was a pointy bell. Yeah.
You're not the only one.
Anyway, I have a rate my question for you guys, and though I think you'll probably know the answer, it follows in with my last rate my question, so I feel like it needed to be asked. So, here goes. In the 1991 Van Halen song, Pound Cake, Eddie Van Halen used this common household item in both the introduction and the guitar solo. Thanks, guys, and enjoy 2021, and let's hope it's better than the last one.
Thank you, Aaron. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, A.A. Ron.
Yes. Okay, so another Van Halen one. He asked about Van Halen last time, is that right?
No.
No?
I believe he asked, was he the one that asked about the Lumberjack song?
Oh, that's probably it.
This is another musician playing right. Something that is not a musical instrument in the song. Do you guys know this?
No.
The Jackal song with the chainsaw, right? That's what you're talking about? Do you know it?
I do.
Okay. My gut reaction was a power drill, maybe with like a pick on the end to make the pick move very quickly. He said household item, right? Common household item.
I was initially thinking,
I'm not sure exactly how he worded it.
I'm thinking,
because as soon as he said pound cake, I knew.
Yeah.
I know that song.
I'll just read it one more time here just so we can get it for the, analization.
Give us a clean read.
In the 1991 Van Halen song Pound Cake, Eddie Van Halen used this, a household item, in both the introduction and the guitar solo.
Yeah, my instinct is to say it's like he used some sort of kitchen item as like a percussive device, is what my instinct is to go to.
Percussive device on his guitar? Because he is a guitar player.
Maybe the percussive device was used.
A
pick
is a percussive device.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
Maybe
a guitar, for all intents and purposes, is a percussion instrument.
Maybe the percussion device was played during this guitar solo. Like you said, in the intro and the guitar solo. So, like, you know, when there's a guitar solo, the rest of the band doesn't stop.
Did you say it's not?
Eddie Van Halen does play multiple instruments. He was a keyboard player also.
Did you say it's not a drill?
I didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Household item is an interesting way to word it.
Okay. Hmm. All right.
He does say household item.
I wouldn't call a drill a household item.
No?
It's like no. I mean, maybe.
I love how much we're getting into. I really, 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 and I don't mean to sound sarcastic. I love this getting into what stuff means and the right way to word stuff.
Yeah, the semantics of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The wording of household item is.
You would question it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Right. Okay. Well.
If I was by myself, I would go drill, but I mean, I'm open to other suggestions. You know, could be.
Did he use like a
trash can, kitchen sponge?
Or maybe he used something unusual as like a slide on his guitar, like. Mm-hmm. Like a beer bottle.
Is that unusual? I mean, I guess at that level that's of play, not, but yeah. Everybody's got an uncle that plays a Coke bottle slide guitar, right? Who doesn't have an uncle?
I don't know.
That put a bottle on their finger.
You think a drill?
I mean, that's what I would guess, you know. I would call that a household item too.
Okay.
So, Mark?
Should I bring up the song?
Sure.
Yeah. I was thinking kitchen because the name of the song is Pound Cake.
Oh.
Which is why I was thinking kitchen.
And the percussion thing. It's like pounding.
Do you want to change your answer?
I mean, no, that's all right. I'm cool with being wrong. Blender?
It is a drill.
That's what I said.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Oh, I thought you said it was wrong.
No. You said, did you say drill? And I said, I didn't say.
Oh, okay.
That is actually really cool.
All right.
He just auto-tuned a drill.
He did not auto-tune it. So what he does is he plays it next to the pickups. He has magnetic pickups.
Okay.
And he plays it next to them and basically can run it through whatever effects that he has on his guitar. So it's like a distorted power drill.
That's dope.
Now, great question. Mm-hmm. I do not think I'd consider a drill a household item. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not, but if I was giving away, like, if I was giving a hint like that, I don't know that the average person, I don't know how exactly I would word household item.
Yeah.
But I don't think of, like, a household being something where it's like, oh, you know, everybody's got the household drill. When I think about it, I go, well, a lot of places probably do, but it just doesn't, it sits weird with me. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when I think of household item, that's not where my brain goes.
Yeah.
To be honest, it led me right to the answer. When I thought I heard household item, I thought a drill. Like, that's what you might use in a, you know,
Van, like, Halen song.
or like I said, I think I described like attaching a pick to it. So I had the totally wrong application of it. You know, like,
not
you said,
totally wrong. Well, you're relatively close.
Right. But it's not hitting the strings. It's on the pickup. Yeah. But yeah, I like it how it's worded. I would actually just, my beef with it is it says he uses this, which is that Jeopardy formatting. So uses what household item is what I would say. It's a minor tweak. I give this a PIBS with a lowercase s. PIBS with lowercase s.
I give it another A plus. Just a great question.
Yeah, that was good.
Yes. Awesome question.
I'm surprised neither of you knew that.
No. I am not, like, a Van Halen fan.
I was 100% sure that I figured that was one of those things that, like, everyone knew. Just like I thought with the same thing with the Lumberjack song and the. But I guess that's just me knowing, you know, being brought up around so much music and being like, well, duh, everyone knows this. You know what I mean? And then finding out no one knows.
That's good 90s music trivia, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nice, juicy question.
Do you know what album that was from?
No.
For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, which the initials are fuck.
Oh, okay. I see what they did there now.
Yes.
Now
that you see that. Yes.
Very cute.
All right. And then we have one last call here from Dallas.
Dallas.
I miss Dallas.
I miss Dallas too.
Hey guys, long time listener, first time caller. I just woke up, so I decided to rate my question here. And it's probably going to suck. And I'm probably going to look funky, but please enjoy. How do we do this here? Okay. What Grammy Academy and quote unquote winner performed at Lollapalooza in 2007 and rose to prominence in 2008? They have such claims to fame as having two songs certified diamond, winning Academy Award for Best Actress, and having the fastest selling single digitally with over 1 million in a week. This artist's moniker comes from a Queen song released in 1984.
I know it.
That's what gave it away to me.
What?
I was thinking it already, though, honestly.
Is it? I know it's a little funky and wonky there, but hopefully you can figure it out. And if you don't know and you can't figure it out, just text me or something. I'll let you know. Thank you very much for everything. Love you guys. Bye.
We love you, Dallas.
Yes.
We got to have Dallas on again. I don't know if he's been running trivia anywhere or anything, but if not, that's a damn shame.
Yeah, we got to get in touch with Dallas. Love the call. Thank you, Dallas.
Do you know
this question? The Queen song is what tipped you guys off, huh? Mm-hmm. Released in 1984.
Well, actually, I knew before.
Yeah, I think we were both.
But that really
we were both kind of thinking. Yeah. Though I don't know what movie she won an Academy Award for.
I do.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I do.
Yeah.
Duh. I'm an idiot.
Yeah. But like, actually, with the very first thing he said, where he like won these awards, and I'm like, okay, I think I know where this is going. And then by the end of it, I'm like, yeah.
The fastest.
Is it Madonna?
It is not Madonna.
No.
No.
I don't know.
She rose to prominence in 2007.
Oh, I missed that. This is a very long question. And she performed at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
Grammy, Academy Award, and Golden Globe winner. Yep. So no Tony.
Mm-hmm. Close,
but,
though.
Yep. But almost an ego winner. Yes?
All we hear is Radio Gaga.
Oh.
Radio Goo Goo. Radio Gaga.
There it is.
Yes.
Lady the Lady Gaga. Gaga. Okay, well, you Lady guys would have sussed that out.
Gaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, when that, it was like, all right, I'm now down to like one or two people it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Lady Gaga. Then he said the, when he said the moniker, I was like, oh, well, that takes out.
Yeah.
You know, anyone else probably could have been.
Mm-hmm. And,
that's like the confirming hint, I would say, in the question as it is. I give this Pib, you know, it's not short and sweet.
No.
It's got a lot. It's like Pib with two B's, three B's. There's so many hints in it built in.
There's
hints.
A lot of hints. Yeah.
So I would just, if I was going to ask this, I don't know that I would keep all this information in the question. Like the two song certified diamond is interesting, but it's not like that confirming hint, you know? So I'd probably pick like two or three of these accolades to focus on and restructure the question that way. But it's interesting, and I like that I didn't know it, you know, and other people did. So it's always good when you have like a question that has like a split where some people know it and some people don't.
This is one of those cases that I think that it being long is fine. I think all that information, I mean, I'd have to like hear it again, but I think all that information is fine. I think it could probably be written a little more succinct.
Yes.
I mean, for like a live environment too.
Yeah. I mean, we've both asked long questions in live environments. There's some where it's just like, this information is too juicy. Like to be able to say that she won those awards, she had the fastest downloaded song. Mm-hmm. She has two singles certified diamond, and her name comes from our moniker comes from a Queen song. I think that's all good and interesting information.
Yeah. I think it's too much.
I think him like reading it, you know, slowly and first thing in the morning and stuff, I think you could probably chim a little, like some words here or there. But personally, I like the length. I'd give it an A+.
I would definitely if you removed some of those hints, I think it's a great question. Just remove some of those hints for sure.
Just to make it a little bit more
challenging.
It's not even the removal of them. It would also just be to just like tighten it up. And if you could communicate that information in a short way, the thing is like, you know, sometimes you're competing against the crowd when you're asking questions because they're talking or something like that. So having a shorter question, I think, can be advantageous because you might need to read it twice, you know, or three times in a row. But yeah, you know, it's just got a lot of information in there. And the other thing is you could, there's so many different things in here. This could be two different questions or three different questions even. But if you wanted to keep it all as one, I would just maybe just like shorten it a little bit and just try and, you know, use some of these facts as descriptors, you know, of the artist. And,
yeah, we just disagree. Pib. I mean, short and sweet isn't necessarily a selling point for me.
Right. Right.
But I mean, you know, I always think that it's nice to anything that is that could be a hint to a question you don't know, you walk away as new information you have. So even if it's not a hint, it's a learned thing. So I think, you know, tighten it up a hair, but
well, what do you give it?
I give it an A+. I think it's a great question.
Great.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We all learned something here today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Matt, Katie, Aaron, and Dallas for your Rate My Questions.
Oh, I love the love.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or miscorrection, please do so at nonsensetrivia@gmail.com or give us a call. It's fun to have the calls, right?
Yes, I love it.
Calls
929-356-6966. Okay.
Kyle Ann.
Ready to kick off round three?
Sure.
Mommy.
Okay.
M-A-M-I.
Mamacita.
All right. I love this question so much. So in 2000...
She's getting a wetty for her own question. She's like, oh God, I can't fucking stand
a wetty, jeez. Okay. In 2006, a Panera Bread in Massachusetts filed an unsuccessful lawsuit against which company? For opening a location in the same shopping center, arguing that the terms of their lease prevents more than one sandwich shop to exist in the vicinity.
Could be Subway, Jimmy John's, Jersey Mike's, Quiznos? But what if it's like a McDonald's or something, and they're like, that's a sandwich shop. And that's why this is a juicy question.
Can you read the question one more time?
Yes.
She got a big old smile.
In 2006, a Panera Bread in Massachusetts filed an unsuccessful lawsuit against which company? It is a food company, though. I will give you that. I didn't specify, but I figured that was obvious.
Okay.
For opening a location in the same shopping center, arguing that the terms of their lease prevents more than one sandwich shop to exist in the vicinity.
Shopping center.
Mm-hmm. And it was in Boston, you said?
I think it was actually Worcester.
Oh, in Massachusetts.
In Worcester. Well, that shed on my idea.
What's that?
Publix.
Mm. It's a bit north for Publix.
But can you imagine? Yep. Because sandwich shop, because right. Pub subs are so popular.
Right. But do you think that's the direction that we're going? Is it's like not an obvious?
It's not an obvious thing. She wouldn't be like all fucking turned on about asking a question about fucking Quiznos. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? She'd yep. be like,
this is we love the sub.
I miss Quiznos so much.
Oh my God, me too.
John Lewis, big Quiznos lover.
Mm-hmm. Ice cream sandwiches? I'm thinking of like unconventional sandwiches.
Well, I was thinking Wawa.
Okay.
But Wawa's a gas station, yeah. So I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But some place that does subs, but almost like as like an afterthought. Like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was thinking like Publix.
Sheets. It's
like,
I know that's a chain. That's gas station convenience store, right?
What if this is a play on the sandwich argument?
Mm-hmm.
Look at those eyes. She's smizing. Like, what if it's like Taco Bell or like a McDonald's or Five Guys, and they're saying hamburger sandwich.
Mm. Nathan's hot dogs.
Excuse me, sir. Hamburger sandwich. You can't be open here.
Mm-hmm.
Hamburger sandwich.
Right. What if it's a hot dog, though?
Hot dog is sandwich.
Right. So a hot dog chain.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, yeah. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Not ice cream sandwich, but something that is
hot
like...
Hot dog sandwich. Hot dog sandwich.
Hot dog's a taco.
It's a sandwich.
I mean, yeah.
I think it's even listed on Wikipedia's list of sandwiches. I think it says hot dog sandwich on there.
I bet you that gets edited to fuck. Which is just like fucking people back and forth all day. Put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off. Wikipedia has to lock it down.
Right. Edits are locked for this article.
Well, I mean, what hot dog places are we talking about? It would just have to be fucking Nathan's, right? I mean, that's pretty much the only option we have.
Mm-hmm. And they're in malls, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it could be in a shopping center, I guess. I don't know what we're talking about. Again, shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of when you think shopping center?
Like an outdoor shopping mall.
I think like strip mall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But strip mall, I think of different as an outdoor mall. Outdoor mall, I think Coconut Point, Miramar.
Right.
Shopping center, I think like Publix, Chiquita, and Cape Coral Parkway.
That is totally... You're biased, though. I mean, a shopping center, a place like Coconut Point and Bell Tower is technically a shopping center.
It's just a lifestyle
just
center.
Because you know, just because it's, you do I am shopping
telling,
there.
I'm telling you, it's called a lifestyle center. It's not a question. Okay.
All right.
Because they have apartments above the
foot down.
They have apartments above the places.
Not at Bell Tower, though.
I'm going to say you're getting a little in the weeds about the shopping center. It's just the point of the question is, They were trying to argue that there can't be more than one sandwich shop in their area.
Mm-hmm.
In their vicinity. It was like in their lease.
A&W, they make hot dogs, right? They have...
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere a little bit more well-known, though. I mean, like, I think... Fuck. I don't know. I think... I keep thinking hamburgers, man. And the reason is, I guess, because there's so many hamburger places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I don't know why you're so specific about hot dogs. But I mean,
it I just can be feel like you had between... a Waffle House question, and I know she is aware of the hot dog sandwich debate that has been running, you know, on the internet and through our lives.
Okay.
So I'm metagaming a little bit. That's why I'm locked on the
gotcha,
hot dog.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But you're right. It could be hamburgers. Could be Wendy's famous hamburgers.
Or it could be something else that would mm-hmm. be argue. I mean, the thing here is, I think that it's a debate on whether or not it is. It, whatever it is a sandwich, mm-hmm. whether it be hot dogs or something else that will equally, you know, make us argue.
What if it was like a Sabre hot dog cart? And they were like, fuck that cart.
Get did
that
I ask you if you think a cart. Graham cracker is a cookie or a cracker?
No, you did not.
It's a cracker.
I don't know. I haven't studied
title,
this enough.
Graham cracker.
Animal crackers.
Hey, coffee are bean animal crackers is a berry. Crackers?
Yes.
A coffee that's, bean is
I
a berry.
You know that's a lie. I think you know that an animal cracker is not a cracker.
I mean, there is a lot of sugar in it. It's like a Nilla wafer, basically, but in the shape of an animal.
A coffee bean is a berry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A peanut is a legume.
In the words of that one guy, we can do this all. I can do this all day. That one guy being Captain America. I don't know why I called him that one guy.
Nathan's hot dogs.
All right. We're going to go with Nathan's hot dogs.
That's incorrect.
Ah.
I had a feeling you would. I had a feeling. Sorry, Mark. You were on the right track, though, and I'm glad you went there.
I hope you just feel my stare forever.
The correct answer is Qdoba.
Oh, it's even further. Place. It's even further.
No, is Qdoba a sandwich place, right?
No, it's a burrito place. It's like Chipotle.
See, I knew it was going to be some shit.
Yes. Yep. So
I said Taco Bell. I was barking up the right tree.
So they filed the lawsuit stipulating, you know, like we can't have more than one sandwich shop in here. And the judge ruled ultimately, quote unquote, a sandwich is not commonly understood to include burritos, tacos and quesadillas, which are typically made with a single tortilla and stuffed with a choice of filling of meat, rice and beans. Superior Court Justice Jeffrey Locke wrote this in his decision for this case. So. And then they got some witnesses. Qdoba got some like expert opinion. What is that called again?
Expert opinion.
Is that what it's called? They like had like witnesses to like testify to their expert
witness.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Expert witness. Mm-hmm. They had several expert witnesses, and this is one of them quoted as saying,
which Legal Eagle would say is bullshit, by the way, but the YouTube channel Legal.
So Cambridge chef Chris Schlesinger. Said in an, he was quoted as saying in an affidavit, I know of no chef or culinary historian who would call a burrito a sandwich. Indeed, the notion would be absurd to any credible chef or culinary historian. Mm-hmm. So, but in this ruling, this judge did say a sandwich is not commonly understood to include burritos, tacos, and quesadillas. So hot dogs aren't sandwiches, babe.
Well, I have to say, I agree with the judge in this ruling, even if I might disagree with that like definition. I think these all like literally could be considered sandwiches. But the fact that the judge said they're not commonly understood to be sandwiches, I agree. It's going to be a hard sell to tell somebody that a burrito is a sandwich. And I think also in this specific context, this is just what was the company that did the lawsuit?
Qdoba. Oh.
Panera Bread.
Panera is just trying to lock down their market. This yes. is not there's no they do not give a fuck about whether or not a burrito is considered a sandwich.
Of
so.
Course they don't, but right. a judge has ruled according to this superior court judge, mm-hmm. burritos are not sandwiches.
No, commonly understood.
Oh my god.
Commonly understood. That is a very specific way of wording it. We're talking about words here. Yes, I agree with that. But I think a hot dog's a sandwich. I have to say.
In the court ruling, he said quesadilla, taco, and burrito. And you
but
keep
those
saying
those aren't hot dogs.
And
yeah.
people are saying that tacos are.
I'm just surprised.
Hot dogs are tacos,
that, but that's
right?
an extra step.
I'm just surprised that you're. I mean, you know, I would say that, you know.
One step beyond!
Those things are so far from being hot dogs, too. I'm just shocked that you're trying to use that as a replacement for a hot dog.
It's a stretch, but like I said, I have to agree in the specific context with the judge. Mark, what do you think? Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah, a hot dog is a sandwich. Yeah,
thank you. All right.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's a dumb conversation. It
of
doesn't
course.
Matter what it is. It's just yummy.
We're just passing the time.
I need to figure out a last question. This one's going to be impossible for you. I'll ask that one. What is magnesium sulfate commonly called?
feel like I just asked this.
Oh, don't say that.
On Twitch trivia. Anytime there's a chemistry category, it's literally just chemical compounds. Like, that's all I ask, because I'm not getting into the weeds about, you know, stuff.
See,
I
when
don't...
you say that, it makes me want to ask the other impossible one.
Magnesium sulfate, you said?
Magnesium sulfate.
I want to say it's baking soda.
Yes. I'm just going with it. That sounds about right. I was thinking like dietary fiber. I don't know, but that's wrong. That's not right.
It's something sulfate. Like, it's like baking soda.
Soda is sulfate, right?
I believe so.
I asked about,
or is that sodium bicarbonate is baking soda?
No, I asked about, sodium lime.
It might be lye. Magnesium sulfate. No, you don't think so.
I like baking soda.
Okay.
Baking soda.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Sorry, darling.
He looks so just crushed. The correct answer is Epsom salt. Epsom salt.
Okay.
That was close. Is the correct answer. It was like, I know it was in that realm.
The other one
the
was
soaking salt.
Yes, the other one was like it was loosely a sports question. Not, it was like a sports slash. Do you want me to ask you as a possible comeback?
It's not going to happen, but no. Sure. I mean, you said it was impossible.
Well, I don't know if it's impossible.
You're like, I'm going to ask you the impossible question.
Well, it's also kind of a question about like people married to people, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, maybe I would know this.
What former baseball player was Halle Berry's first husband?
Alex Rodriguez or Derek Jeter?
Former baseball player, you said?
Yes.
Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod?
Yeah.
Isn't he married to... what's her face now, J-Lo?
I think so, but this was, I mean, I think he's talking about like in the early 2000s, you know, when he was just kind of coming up. That was his decade.
Or Derek Jeter. I think it's like, it's definitely a Yankee, I would say, which would be bold.
That's both of them, yeah.
Let's just go with A-Rod.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Yeah. It was actually an Atlanta Brave, David Justice.
Oh, I never would have known.
Okay. All right. I have a scientific expeditions question for you to close out our quiz. What 1960s U.S. naval program intended to prove the viability of saturation diving? What 1960s U.S. naval program intended to prove the viability of saturation diving?
Saturation diving? So mm-hmm. Like scuba diving?
Saturation diving is deep sea diving where the pressures of your body, all tissues in your body, are equalized with the pressures of the ocean based on a variety of gases that you would ingest at that level that would reduce the amount of the bends that you would acquire from depressurization.
Okay, and this is what's the name of the program?
Yes, the U.S. Naval program.
All right, this may be weird. SEALs?
Navy SEALs?
Could it have been started as Navy SEALs? And then it, like... eventually became what it is now. It's a naval program. It's the Navy. I there are two ideas came to mind: Navy SEALs and the Frogmen, which I don't know. I know that's not like a program name necessarily, but I know Frogmen are something to do with like being in the water.
Yeah,
that's my contribution.
I'm gonna give you one more hint.
Okie dokie. Well, not those.
I'm gonna give you one more hint.
Okay.
This program loosely inspired two animated television series.
Oh, maybe it's the Jacques Cousteau. He had like a crew. Oh my gosh.
What animated programs are you thinking about?
I'm thinking either like Octonauts, because he had, I think that's what Aquanauts or something. They were called the Aquanauts or something.
Could it be C-Lab 2021?
Maybe.
Could it be C-Lab?
C-Lab.
It would be C-Lab 20 and C-Lab 2021. You want to say C-Lab?
It's either... yeah, let's go with C-Lab.
I mean, it's two animated programs, right?
Yeah.
We're going to say C-Lab.
Hey. That's correct! That is absolutely correct. C-Lab 2020 and C-Lab 2021. The original was...
There go my nipples again.
Yeah, the original was a serious Hanna-Barbera collaboration, and C-Lab 2021, the farce that used the original animation from
the husk.
It. Yeah. There were three real expeditions of the C-Lab in 1964, 1965, and 1969. And there was some interesting drama that occurred during these expeditions. The first was ended after 11 days due to a tropical storm, and that was off the coast of Bermuda. The second C-Lab was twice as large as the first. It introduced heating coils to ward off hypothermia, and it involved a dolphin named Tuffy, who delivered supplies to the Aquanauts. And the third ended abruptly when one Aquanaut, Barry L. Cannon, died, and there were reports that someone in the C-Lab was trying to sabotage the air supply, and that they apparently caught who was trying to do it but did not press charges because they did not want any negative press attention for the U.S. Navy.
They're trying to sabotage the air supply, and they were living down there also?
Yes, they like went crazy, I guess, and like was trying to like cut off the air supply and kill everybody that was down there.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So they had to build like a guard around, the mechanism that provided the air supply while a rescue operation came in. And so that's how the third one ended. But yes, C-Lab is the name of that program.
If you're looking for me, you better check under the sea, because that is where you'll find me, underneath the C-Lab. Underneath the water, C-Lab, at the bottom of the sea. Calamine, name of that band.
Is it?
Yeah, I desperately wanted to find anything else from them. If you've never heard that theme,
I love that theme.
The vocal harmonies.
Way so better than what good. We just did.
Well, I was going to do some of the harmonies, but I know some people, like whenever you start harmonizing, they can't stick with the original thing, you know. We know.
That's me.
So I didn't want to fuck your day up.
Well, we haven't. You haven't fucked up my day up. In fact, you've made it that much better.
My day up.
You've made it that much better, Mark. Thank you for joining me, Kyle.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And listener, thank you.
Thank
for
you.
For a fantastic 2020 experience for us. It was a bad year, but we made it through. Thanks for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. I want to thank Michael Colton for such a nice review. He gave us 5 stars and said he doesn't even have iTunes. He just downloaded iTunes just to give us a good review.
Holy shit.
So thank you to Michael Colton for that. And you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show. Before I go on naming this, we're about to record some Patreon bonus content as soon as we're done with this. So
yeah, so check that out right after this episode goes up. It should be up over there.
Yeah, so if you are not giving us any amount of money, consider giving us some small amount of money so we can do some cool stuff. Quiz Daddies Dylan, Tommy, and Tim, thank you guys so much. Our team captains, Sean, Lydia, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Aaron, and David Holbrook. David Holbrook, David Holbrook. Our proverbial lakekeepers, Molly and Ryan, Nicole, Alex, Jenny, Christopher, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, who actually messaged me today to wish me a happy new year. Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Carly, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And of course, our Rumpel Snailskins. Doug, Kevin, Sarah, Tiffany, Allison, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C,
Michael Coffee,
Michael S,
Michael Senna,
and Michael J.
Michael Jazz Influence.
Oh, good God.
What? No?
Nothing. No, it's good.
Yeah.
This reminded me of getting that Thelonious Monk question wrong.
Oh, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
And if you are going to tune into the Patreon bonus episode, it's going to be Kyle and Mark going head to head in a music state origin, band state origin identification quiz. Ooh. So we're going to say who knows who from what state with a little twist, and you can play along. So please check that out. And if you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to do exactly what Mike did. Leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service. Five stars only, please. Caught Lee looking.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.